in that meeting at Arco Arena, at former Arco Arena, who had a person who could not, who was paralyzed, couldn't move very well, and was on a cot. And I mean, they came running down the aisle, and I thought, uh-oh, they're going to try to interrupt this service. Well, they kind of did, because the next thing you know, right down here, on the floor below the platform, this gal got right up out of that cot, started running up and down the front of that building. Next thing you know, she's up on the platform. Let me tell you, when you're hungry and you're desperate and you get aggressive, God recognizes that. That's what happened to the woman with the issue of blood. In the middle of a throng of people, she pressed through that crowd to get to Jesus because she was aggressive and she was passionate and said, if I can touch the hem of that garment, I know I will be well. And she got there and she touched it and she went away well. Amen? So it's the aggressive who often receive their healing. And we're going to look at several different ways that Jesus used to heal in Scripture, times of Scripture. And looking at those ways, it's very important to understand that all of them show an aggressive approach, except one. One was passive. All of them were extremely aggressive. Healing is for the body of Christ. So here we go. First of all, healing comes through the anointing, the presence of God. And for those of you who are new to this aspect of Scripture or haven't been taught from the Scripture, man, somehow, some way, you either need to listen to this or make sure you check it out in your notes, because this is an important matter for all of us in the body of Christ to wrap our brains around. Now, it happened on a certain day. Remember, God always has perfect timing. As he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. So this was no small crowd. This was a great representation of a lot of people. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in what we call an atmosphere for miracles. I mean, the presence of Jesus and the anointing of his presence is so real. I mean, it's tangible. You expect to open your eyes and see him face to face. His presence is so impressive. God's word says the anointing of the Lord was present to heal. It's the anointing that brings healing. In special meetings, we experience the anointing of the Lord to heal. There are those who are healed, and sometimes there are those who are not healed in those meetings, because the anointing is not the only way that we can be healed. Remember, if you walk out of a meeting and you're still not healed, stop. And we'll say, well, I didn't feel anything, or I didn't receive anything. Wait a minute. There are at least seven more ways for you to be healed other than that moment in the presence of the Lord. Someone says, the anointing didn't hit me, so what am I to do? There are times when the anointing to heal is present. I mean, those are occasions that are absolutely extraordinary. And it's a wonderful moment. You could go back and visit some of the Catherine Kuhlman meetings and watch them and see those moments manifest in a service like that. And the anointing is present, and all of a sudden, miracles begin to happen across the auditorium. I remember sometimes she would get extremely quiet, and she wouldn't let anybody make a sound. And there are thousands of people in that room, packed and jammed, and God help anybody who interrupted the quietness and the stillness of that moment. She wouldn't let anybody do that. And by keeping the stillness and the presence of the Lord and that sense of holy reverence for him, and then all of a sudden there came a moment in that silence when you would hear people praise God and jump up out of their seat or up out of their wheelchair and bang, 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 bang. Miracles start happening all over the room because the power of the Lord was present to heal. Amen? And the anointing like that has been present in our services, but they need to be manifested more frequently and with more power. There are times when someone might not receive their healing or their answer that way, So do you wave goodbye to healing because you didn't receive in that kind of a moment? No way, because secondly, there's the laying on of hands. Any of these can work for us alone or in combination. God has a way for everybody to receive healing. There will be those who are healed during the time of communion, because communion is another way in which God uses it to heal those who need to be well. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. People step forward and ask to have hands laid on them, and they are healed. Have you ever been healed after having hands laid on you? Anybody? I have, right? Right? And though through the laying on of hands, there's healing. It's scriptural. Something, well, if someone doesn't give a message in tongues, I can't receive anything. No matter what you feel, no matter if there are other gifts or not manifested, we rely on the Word, because the Word will always work. Always. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. But thank God we have the Word forever and ever. It never passes away. The Word of God brings the health of God. Because of the laying on of hands, many people have been healed. I think Oral Roberts probably laid hands on more people for healing than anyone I can remember in my lifetime. I used to watch his program when I was growing up, and for hours he would sit on a chair and lay hands on person after person after person. And my goodness, how is God given the strength to, I mean, it's supernatural, and many were healed. But if you never get to a healing crusade or have an evangelist lay hands on you, that doesn't mean you will not be healed. Amen? Some think, well, if that person will just lay hands on me, maybe that won't happen, even if that person does. So you can't rely on what you feel or who lays hands on you. Rely on the promise of God's Word. God's Word promises you. God's made a covenant with you about healing His people. And I think of John G. Lake, his healing ministry of prayer for people to be well was so powerful that no matter where he went, there were miracles that were abounding. And he's one of those evangelists that during bubonic plague was told by science and others around him in ministry, you need to stop putting your hands on people, because this is transmittable and you could get sick and die from this. And he said, well, go ahead and scrape some of the foam off of this person's mouth and put it in my hand and watch what happens under the microscope. And they did, and they watched the virus die in his hands because of the power of the Lord present to heal in through that man's faith in God. When he took his ministry to Seattle, the Seattle Intelligencer put on the front page of their newspaper, Seattle is the healthiest city in the United States of America, and they attributed it to one thing: all the prayer centers that John G. Lake established all over the city of Seattle for people to go and check in, and they would fast and pray and would not leave the prayer centers until they walked out well. They checked in and said, we're going to stay here until God does a miracle in our lives. And there were multiple miracles until health abounded in the city of Seattle. What a contrast to what's happened there recently, isn't it? Boy, do we need an invasion of the power of God again in our cities through our churches. Amen. Third, the anointing with oil. James 5 and 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And then it goes on to say in Mark 6, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So the disciples were sent out by the Master to save and to heal. Many denominational churches have never practiced this command of Scripture. And consequently, the people live in spiritual darkness. And there's a dearth and an absence of the presence of the Holy Spirit because the truth of God's word is hardly ever presented. So they live sick and they live bound. But those who want freedom because they're desperate go get prayed for. And when you come in faith, there's healings, amen, and there's deliverance by the presence of God. I carry a vial of oil wherever I go because there are times I sense the leadership of the Holy Spirit to anoint someone for healing or for deliverance. It's one of God's avenues by which he brings health. It's not the only way to be healed, because God wants you healed so much, he's provided a multitude of ways and avenues for his people to receive blessing of health. Well, Pastor, who gets healed? The people who are healed generally are the passionate people. The people who say, I've got to have a miracle. I'm desperate. I need the Lord to do something. They say, I want to be healed. And if I can't feel an anointing, or there's not a manifestation of the gifts other than the gift of healing, I'll get someone to lay hands on me or anoint me or both. But I'm going to be healed because it's God's word and it belongs to me. And the person who takes that position generally is recipient of God's intervention. Well, some say, I don't know where God is. Open your Bible. He's right there. That's where God is. Right there. You have his word. He wants you to use it, and he's made provision for you. Faith has to work from the word. Faith has to work from the word. And faith works, not unbelief. Say, unbelief does not work. And then fourth, believing and speaking. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I speak the word to my physical body. I work the word. Healing from problems in my back. I've asked God to touch me a number of years ago. Doctor diagnosed, said, oh, it's probably genetic. That every once in a while you've had this problem with your back. And same with Donna. The prognosis, it'll get worse with age. That was nice of the doctor to tell. Don't you love the positivity of these people, right? Right? We don't need to get worse, right? We need to be well. So we speak the word to our physical body. And thank God we've been touched by the presence of the Lord. And we're pretty mobile people, and we're grateful for that. He spoke the word that healed you and that pulled you back from the brink of death. Thank God the word of God brings health to us. Well, I didn't feel something. No one with a gift came by and touched me. But I had the word. And that's why every morning we practice God's promises. Every morning we break the bread and we take the cup and we're reminded of the faithfulness of God and we work the word. Everybody here has access to the word of God. Say, I have the word. And the word will work for me. It will. It works. I have spoken the word to my physical body. I'll say to my back. In the past, I have had to do that. Or I've said to an infection or to a fever. And don't worry, I don't have one. Or to pain. You are healed. You're gone. And the word is working in my body. It may take a while, but healing comes. I prayed for others while I've been in pain. I was putting the word of faith in others when I was having moments of struggle myself, but I just kept speaking the word. The word works. Say that. The word works. The word is profitable. Say that. The word is profitable. In God's time, healing comes. God uses the confessed word to bring healing. Number five, the agreement of two or more people. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. What an awesome promise that is. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen? Sometimes we're overwhelmed by our symptoms or some pain or sickness, and doctors and nurses don't have good information, and they're saying things that don't sound positive. They have negative news. No one comes to you with a positive comment or a word of encouragement. Sometimes you need someone just to step up to you and say, come on, John, the word works. Amen? Come on, Mary, I'm here to be in agreement with you. God has got something good for you. That's why it's important you belong and are connected in small groups throughout our community, because we belong to each other and we need the faith of one another to help us, because they come into agreement with you when you're facing a crisis. You don't need to be isolated. There's tremendous power in agreement. Say tremendous power. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So when we start gathering together in small groups and we begin to unite and pray for one another, watch God go to work. And if you have someone who comes with faith and believes in the power of God's word to heal and comes into agreement with you, better still, even bring a third person into that agreement can break anything and everything. Now, at times, a spirit of fear will attack you. And my goodness, I've watched more people get attacked. Just about everybody's been attacked by the spirit of fear during this crisis. But how you respond to that spirit is the difference maker. And that spirit will say, your son or your daughter will never come back to Jesus and lie to you, scare you, intimidate you. Crush your spirit. Or your spouse is going to be injured and there's nothing you can do to prevent it. Or something terrible is going to happen in the circumstance where you work. Or you're going to go out and you're going to contract something horrible and you won't survive it. So people cower in fear. Something terrible is going to happen in my life. You need someone to come in agreement with you. That's why isolation, see, that's what you do to the worst of criminals and people that you're trying in some way to get a message of punishment to. You send them into solitary confinement where they have no communication and they have no light and they have very little to depend on in a very tiny little spot. And you talk about damaging their psychology and damaging their spirit. That's so damaging to people to try to tell you to lock down and go get isolated somewhere. I was reading a statistic this afternoon, and I said, I've got to go back and find that, because if what I just heard is true, the numbers of people who have committed suicide or attempted suicide are astronomical, through the roof during this time where people are being asked to be isolated. It's a horrible experience. The spirit of fear beats the tar out of people when he does that to you. So you have to have people around you to come into agreement with. Because once you open the door to the spirit of fear, how many know the devil will pounce? Immediately pounce. So get to someone and come into agreement in faith together to join faith with yours. Someone who was there to say to you, when you're saying, I have this awful fear, or I'm concerned about, someone who will say, shut up, devil. Someone who will agree with you and break that spirit of fear. And if you feel like your faith is leaking away, get someone around you with faith. In agreement, there is power to defeat the devil. I said in agreement, there is power to defeat the devil. Can you say amen? Number six, believe that you receive when you pray. And I tell you, you can pray, Jesus said, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Man, that's an important key for believers, because so many people, when they come to God in prayer, don't believe they have received. You know, they just go through the motions, check the box, I prayed. Well, I've had the best pray for me, and nothing happened. And I'm really no better. And here's the typical response. You know, I still have pain, and there's still something wrong with me. And they search not for the healer who heals, but for what they can find wrong with their life. I knew it wasn't going to work. I'm still sick. I still have this pain. Don't look for your sickness. Look for your healer. When there's even a tiny bit of improvement, say, thank God, I'm better. This muscle is moving better. Thank God for improvement. People who have irregular sleep patterns, you might develop those while you're in college, or maybe perhaps you've had to work long hours, or you've had to work split shifts, and your body clock gets messed up, and you have to stand in faith for that insomnia, because when you should be sleeping, you can't. And when you should be awake, you're half asleep, and you're trying to figure this out, and your body can't figure it out. And the devil will say, well, this just goes with the turf. It's not going to change. Stand in faith. When you sleep 15 minutes longer, 30 minutes longer, a little bit longer, say, thank you, Jesus, I'm being healed. Amen. And you'll be well and reacquire regular sleep habits and patterns. Keep looking for the healer who brings you healing, even when your body doesn't say that. Believe that you receive when you pray. I've watched God intervene for healing and restoration whenever we've engaged crises in our lives. I'll never forget in my time of questioning, during a time of conversation with God, I was asking him why, when, how is this going to work? In the middle of my conversation and my asking of questions, he interrupted me. Listen, here's a clue. God will interrupt you. He will. He'll interrupt you. He said, I'm a covenant-keeping God. I mean, he just shut me down just like that. He said, who do you think I am? Do you not know if I've made a promise and I've given a covenant to you, I keep covenants when I make them. God makes and keeps covenant with his people. Thank the Lord. Amen. When doctors have said, this can't be fixed, we've got no remedy for this, this will end negatively, God has shown himself faithful, but we had to believe to receive. Healing can come in a lot of packages. So stay aggressive and stay passionate and stay in faith and be with people who are of faith. Number seven, the table of the Lord, which we're going to take in just a few more minutes. Communion. There's an anointing in this room tonight. We've experienced it during our worship. Did you see it? Did you experience it? Amen. And when we take communion, we enter into the promise and the provision for healing. The Lord Jesus, Paul wrote, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Surely, Isaiah writes, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Salvation and healing are the twins of the atonement. They are inseparable in both Old and New Covenants. He said to his people in the Old Covenant, I am the Lord that heals you. Communion causes us to remember that he died to save us from our sins and heal us from our diseases. So when we eat the bread, remember that his body was broken for our healing. Are you hearing this? Amen? And then number 8, the name of Jesus. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know what really jumps all over me because I'm cognizant of it? We pray the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I hear people pray prayers, and they're reticent in certain situations to ever pray in the name of Jesus. Well, I've got a command here. Whatever you ask in my name, that I'm going to do. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So he wants us to use his name. I'm not ashamed of his name. I am grateful I wear the label of his name. And I'm going to pray the Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Use Jesus' name as a battering ram on the strongholds of Satan. Read chapters in John's gospel, 13, 14, 15, 16. Read those specific chapters. Meditate. Memorize some of those passages. Focus on some of the passages in those chapters. What stands out in these chapters so strongly, whatever you ask in his name, he will do it. If you ask anything in his name, he will do it. Over and over and over again, it's repeated. He said, if you've not yet asked in my name, ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. In that day, ask in my name. He keeps repeating, the name, the name, the name, the name. Say, it's in the name of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit's saying to us tonight, do you realize how powerful the name of Jesus is? The scripture says when his name is mentioned in heaven, all of heaven bows on the glassy sea when they hear the name of Jesus shouted out in the heavenlies. At that name, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus is the Christ. Amen? Right. You realize how powerful that name is? You take his name for granted. People just, well, you know, just Jesus. When you pray in his name, it's going to get done because he promised, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Many times you have to keep attacking that stronghold in the name of Jesus. I come against this in the name above every name, the name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus. Are you still resisting that healing? I'm speaking to you in the name of Jesus. Are you still bound by the spirit of fear? I'm speaking in the name of Jesus. I'm not giving up on the name of Jesus. I'll keep using the name of Jesus until the devil moves out and there's full manifestation of the will of God in the lives of people. Healing can be a battle, but the word says we've already won. But we need to be aggressive and passionate. Let me recap just a couple of truths about communion. So listen to the word. Here we go. 1 Corinthians, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's a pretty heavy-duty statement right there, isn't it? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick. He's talking to the church among you, and many sleep. Now, they're not taking a nap like some do in church. It means they died. So why is communion such a key to healing? God says that many who do not discern the Lord's body are weak, sickly, have no energy, low energy, chronically, always ill, and some even die. Prematurely. Why? Because they don't discern the Lord's body. Why is that so important? You can discern the body of Christ and receive manifestation of healing. When we partake of this, we're celebrating covenant. The covenant began in Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15, and 17. Where God brings Abraham into a covenant with himself. And when he agreed to this covenant, God gave Abraham 60 promises contained in that covenant. In those promises, you can boil them down to four different headings. They're all for Abraham and his seed, those who come after him. Thank God for legacy for our families. Amen. How many know you are Abraham's seed? Do you know that you are? Because we've been grafted in the new covenant and become a part of the family tree of Abraham. His seed enters into these promises. One, you can be God's friend. I can abide in his love because friends love one another. I have friendship with him. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. My goodness. I'm glad he's my friend. How about you? Are you God's friend? Does he fellowship with you? Sweet communion and connection with you. Number two, Abraham's seed were to have health and long life. Number three, blessing of wealth was a part of that covenant. And four, there were family benefits. My lineage benefits because of what God does in my life. As for you and your house, you will serve the Lord. Those are benefits of the Abrahamic covenant. And when they entered that covenant, there was always the shedding of blood. The covenant was sealed with the shedding of the blood of an animal. There was blood shed from various animals when Abraham entered into this covenant with God. And Abraham and his seed were then to be circumcised. Why? It says, we are marked people. We are people of covenant. And therefore, we have covenant rights. And Jesus came, and absolutely, he says, I have a new covenant. And the circumcision you bear will be in your heart. And others will know you are marked as mine. Because there's a difference in you. In fact, he said, Abraham's covenant is now a part of my covenant. And you will not need animals any longer. I will shed my own blood. I am your sacrificial lamb. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In covenant, he's taken our diseases. He's taken our sicknesses. He's taken our infirmities. Peter the Apostle put it like this, by his stripes we were healed. Say to your neighbor, you've already been healed. Why? Because it happened 2,000 years ago. How many know your sins were forgiven over 2,000 years ago? How many know that? How many know all your sicknesses were taken care of 2,000 years ago? And in communion, we celebrate what we have in this covenant, that we need to discern the body of Jesus. So Paul goes on to say, so when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? Yeah. In communion, we celebrate what we have in the covenant. So what does it say? He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, those who do not discern the Lord's covenant, his body, everyone who's born again and believes that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from sin, right? How many know Jesus' blood cleanses us from sin? But in communion, it's not just the blood that we partake of. We partake of his body. And what does his body do? His body took 39 stripes, lashes. Isaiah tells us those 39 stripes were for our healing. So when I celebrate his covenant, I don't just celebrate that I've been cleansed from sin. I celebrate that I am also healed, because the blood has handled my cleansing of sin, but his body has bought my healing from disease. Thank the Lord, I'm in covenant. Jesus said, you keep this. You keep this. This is my covenant with you. And don't forget, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. Don't forget, by his stripes we are healed. And if you can discern, because of Jesus, I am cleansed from sin. Because of Jesus, I discern, I am healed. And it happened 2,000 years ago. Well, I have a chronic condition. Why don't you say, I had a chronic condition? Because if you discern the body of Christ, there's healing in communion. Say, well, my father died at 50, so I guess I'm going to die at 50. Shut that down. You have a new father. You have new DNA. And our Father lives forever. And so will you, because of what Jesus has done for you. So we will share communion, and the Lord's going to do something special in your body, and he'll do something special in your heart, because he's present here like he was in that upper room. And to you filled with fear, suffering from depression, living with unconfessed sin, you're so depressed, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you and set you free from that mess. Jesus' blood delivers from anything, any sin, any bondage, any stronghold. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. It covers me. It blesses me. It never loses its power. It washes me. It gives me strength to live from day to day. Thank God his blood was shed for us. And he's made a new and better covenant than the Old Testament saints ever hoped for. They could see it afar sometimes, but we have the realization. Thank God. I'd like for you to lift your hands and worship Jesus. Go ahead, because it's all about Jesus. It's not about, you know, a denomination or a fellowship or a service or a meeting or a named minister. It's about Jesus. Amen? It's about Jesus. And when you drink that cup, you take your forgiveness. When you eat that bread, you receive your healing. And be passionate about Jesus. I'm grateful. I'm forever grateful, because I'm going to get to eat the meal that heals again. Thank God for the privilege of renewing this covenant and discerning the body and the blood of Jesus the Christ. Now, I pray all of you have your communion elements with you, right? You all have those? Good. We're going to go ahead and get ready to receive. But before we get to that part of the service, let me just mention this. Eyes are closed. If you need forgiveness, you have the greatest opportunity tonight to get your life right with God.